Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Shine in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Shine in our lives. Shine in the word now read and proclaimed. And we, children of your light, shining for all people, will follow. Amen. The scripture reading is from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him.
This is the word of the Lord. Let the people say, thanks be to God. Well, today, as always, we are asking the question of the scripture: what does it say to our lives and our time in this place? What we acknowledge is, first of all, Jesus sends out the call for his disciples to follow him. And then, as now, we often are lagging behind. Can I get a rousing amen? I didn't think that'd be rousing. We need to acknowledge, as the people of God, that we are in the midst of a time of great change. It's often called the great emergence or the great convergence. And we gather this from many scholars who agree, have noted on and agreed that Western civilization seems to go through incredible major shifts about every 500 years. In fact, one Episcopal bishop said that Western civilization about every 500 years has a major garage sale. But in fact, what he's referring to, as we look back at these major shifts in culture and understanding, the shifts that we go through do not happen on the religious landscape alone. But in fact, we see about every 500 years, major changes happen in manufacturing, agriculture, engineering, and also, yes, in the religious landscape in which we exist. Although I'm just pointing to the top of it, but we acknowledge in the year zero, the Great Awakening and the birth of Christ. The year 500, some of you will remember, we went into, quote, the Dark Ages. The year 1000, the Great Schism, where the church for the first time was split between East and West. In 1500, the Great Reformation, a change in how we understood following our lives and our understanding of the gospel as disciples of Christ, and the Protestant kind of understanding of Christianity was given rise. And now, once again, we are in this time called the Great Emergence. And there's a tick up to this time and a tick down afterwards as we are understanding our role in this great changing culture. And we also need to acknowledge that as believers and followers of Christ, we're in the midst of this incredible new understanding of how we continue to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ in the midst of transformation of both our lives, the lives of our community, and in the world. I refer to a woman that I've enjoyed her lectures and reading her books by the name of Phyllis Tickle. She was for many years working in the more secular educational community. She was a teacher, a professor, an academic dean. She was born in 1934, and we just lost her, I think, just the year before last. And up to the end of her days, she continued lecturing and continued writing and being a wonderful advocate for understanding the church's role in our time in this great emergence. She, in 1989, decided to retire, but that retirement lasted only briefly, and that was her nature as well. She was asked to join Publishers Weekly as the editor in their religious section of that publication, because in the late 80s, for the first time, we were seeing religious publications and books were hitting the New York bestseller list, the New York Times bestseller list. And they wanted to get an understanding of this changing landscape. And Phyllis Tickle then spent the rest of her life researching, understanding, having conversation, writing, and giving lectures towards our role in this changing world, in this new age. In one place, she lifted up, which struck me for today, she lifted up three questions for disciples of Christ to answer. And also, I believe and agree with her that Jesus has given us the path for the teachings of this time and this place. First of all, in following Christ, we ask the question of how to live among people of other lands and faiths in harmony. One of the first great questions for us in this time as disciples of Christ and in this age is this very question: how do we live with others who are different than us? We see the model lifted up in Jesus' life. Remember when Jesus encountered the Samaritan woman, considered untouchable by his disciples, and especially by Pharisees and Sadducees, that she was, quote, from another tribe. And yet Jesus received her and blessed her. And in a sense, she became the first missionary of Christ. We see Jesus encountering the Roman centurion, who was a symbol for occupation and hatred and oppression and crucifixion in his time. And yet the centurion experienced faith and acceptance by Jesus. We see Jesus relate to the untouchables, those who were suffering leprosy and suffering all manner of disease, that was considered to be shut out and left behind in the culture, and somehow that they were receiving some kind of punishment. And Jesus said, no. And he touched them. He healed them and included them. For us today, I refer to Jim Wallace. He said, Jesus, when speaking to the people who followed him and his disciples, never said to them, I bring you a superior religion. But he notes that what Jesus said is, I bring you a way. The wisdom of God made flesh for you. That leads to abundance and life, both for you and for the world in which we live. And Wallace went on to understand, as trying to discern, he goes, it's often hard to tell who is or who is not a Christian. And I quote, he goes, I think a Jesus follower is observable. He said, one doesn't need to tell you they're a Jesus follower, because in fact you will be able to see it by the way in which they live. And then he said something that on the surface seems rather simple, but yet not easy. He said a Jesus follower likes to talk about Jesus, but does it in such a way that it causes you to want to know more, not less. Do you hear what I'm saying? A Jesus follower embraces enemy love. Jesus doesn't say you ever stop the fight, but you still love the enemy. A Jesus follower is the one who is full of compassion for outsiders and the weak. A Jesus follower is one who is quick to show mercy. And then he said something else too. He said Jesus, a Jesus follower, is one who, when they describe what God is like, describes Jesus. Secondly, today, in Tickle's questions for us as a body of Christ, as disciples of Christ, of those who follow him, the second question she says that is important, especially for our day and maybe in all days, in following Christ, we ask the question of what it is to be truly human. What is it to be truly human? You know, friends, we are not here the result of 2 billion years of carbon atoms run amok in a godless universe. We have been breathed on by the very breath of God. Our lives are born of both earth and spirit. And what it is then for us to be truly human, we need to again observe the life and teachings of Jesus. What it is to be truly human, Jesus tells us by action and word, it is how we use our power. It is how we use our power. Remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness? He was tempted in the wilderness to misuse his power for both spiritual, mental, and physical reasons. And he rejected that misuse of power. And in fact, when we see the teachings of Jesus and the manifestation of his incarnation in life, what we find out, it is not how we misuse our weaknesses. And we often love to focus on that, right? We often love to focus on that we've missed the mark, we fall short. It's because of our sins that we're in such a difficult situation. Amen? That wasn't rousing even close. But for Jesus, who's always ready to bless us in our brokenness, most carefully warns us, it is how we misuse power that changes who we are and endangers life as we know it on the planet. Our great sin is not our weakness, but it's how we misuse our strength. We are called in our time to Micah 6:8. We see Jesus embody that. He embodies divinity and humanity, and he incarnates what the prophet calls us to do today. Prophet Micah says, O human, what is required of you? What is required of you to be truly human? It is loving compassion, to do justice, and to walk humbly with our God. As the psalmist proclaimed today, power belongs to God. Third, the last question she lifts up speaks to our hearts today. In following Christ, we ask the question of living in the Spirit and in transformation as the community of Christ. Last big question for us today. For 500 years, we have focused on Jesus' death for us, and rightly so. But we have so often neglected the next action of God in Christ is being raised from the dead and being raised to new life, and that you and I have been included in this resurrection. We have been breathed into us that resurrection power and transforming spirit so that we might be the church of God on this earth, the body of Christ, that works towards its transformation, that begins to fulfill the great prayer and promise of Christ, that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I recall someone in Bible study earlier this week. She's probably a Generation Xer. We know those different numbers now, Xers, millennial. Let's just say younger folks, right? Adolescents still at home. And as we were discussing the church of our time, for years we have wrestled with the notion that many people, Xers or millennials, will drive by this facility and will look at it and they don't believe there's anything going on in here that could be possibly relevant to their lives in this day and time. Most of their notions are formed by the picture they get of the church on MSNBC and CNN. That often focuses on such a small margin of who we are rather than the full spectrum of who we are as Christians in this time, in this place. And so as we lifted up that question, she said something that struck me to my core. She said, Pastor, a lot of the younger folks, when they drive by, lately, it's not that they think we are not relevant. They often think what's going on in here is harmful. Harmful. St. Francis, in the early days of his mission and ministry, came across this crumbling old chapel, San Damiano. And he heard that still, small voice speak to him. Ripara mia chiesa, which translates, rebuild my church. Rebuild my church. And St. Francis thought it was this chapel. So he got folks together and they worked really hard on it for some time. And they rebuilt this marvelous, small, and beautiful chapel. And yet, the voice came to him again. Ripara mia chiesa. And St. Francis was like, God, I got the building project done. And the voice said again, Ripara mia chiesa. Rebuild my church. And St. Francis understood it went beyond the repair of this small ruin of chapel, but to the entire body of Christ, every day renewed by you and by me. So I close today by saying, Tickle's questions are before us, and the answer lies in following Christ. Jesus' answer then and today is among us in his spirit and teachings. First, add the truth among others of difference. Be truly human through loving compassion doing justice, and in humility's careful use of power. And last, to be alive in spirit, guided by and connected to the breath of Jesus himself. This ends the message. Thanks be to God. Today we are thankful that our district superintendent of our Central Valley, the Reverend Deborah Brady, is with us today and will deliver the dismissal and the blessing. Welcome.
Dear sisters and brothers who have been called to be the community of Christ, now that you have been nourished in worship, go now in peace to serve God and your neighbor as disciples of Jesus, trusting that the Holy Spirit will equip you to be followers, to be people of the way, with a heart full of love even for your enemy, to embrace the gifts of your full humanity, to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with God. Amen.
God bless you all. Go in peace.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of the First United Methodist Church in Turlock, California. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, share-alike license. For more information about our church, visit www.fumcturlock.org or call the church at 209-668-3000. Visitors are always welcome. And now, may the peace of the Lord dwell in your hearts this day, and may God bless you.